This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We're going to be reading from Hadith Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim that he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a new water for his ear. Yes. Go ahead.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قال المؤلف رحمه الله وعنه أنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأخذ لأذنيه ماء خلاف الماء الذي أخذه لرأسه أخرجه البيهقي وقال إسناده صحيح وصححه الترمذي أيضا. Narrated Abdullah bin Zayd رضي الله عنه, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taking some water to wipe his ears, other than the water he had taken to wipe his head, reported by Al-Bayhaqi, who said that its chain of narrator is authentic. At-Tirmidhi also graded it sahih. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ مُسْلِمٍ مِنْ هَذَا الْوَجْهِ بِلَفْظ وَمَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ بِمَاءٍ غَيْرِ فَضْلِ يَدَيْهِ وَهُوَ الْمَحْفُوظِ. It has been reported by Muslim, through the same chain as Al-Bayhaqi's, with the wording, he wiped his head with water other than the water remaining from the washing of the hands. And this narration of Muslim is mahfuz.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. This hadith Abdullah ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu, that he saw a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a new water to wipe his ear with it. So he basically said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped his head, then after that he took fresh water and wiped his ear sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we studied before that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped his ear with the remaining water from wiping over the head. And that's the previous ahadith that we mentioned, and all the ahadith that describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wudu come that way. So this narration of Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim, Al-Imam al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ ظَاهِرُهُ الصِّحَّةِ appear as authentic. Some people misunderstood what Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar saying. بعض الناس ظنوا, because Al-Hafidh said, وهذا الحديث ظاهره الصحة, it is appear as authentic. He doesn't mean it is authentic. He said appear as if it is authentic. ظاهره الصحة, يعني it looks like authentic, but in reality it's not. The reality of this narration, that it is not authentic. Actually, this hadith is shadh. It is basically wrong, because the narrator have mixed between the narration. The narration is without taking of fresh water. The authentic narration that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped his head, then with the remaining water of his hand, without taking new water, without taking fresh water. But this narration is, he took fresh water, he took new water. But the actual, the authentic one, we call this in ilm al-hadith al-mahfuz, which is recognized, which is memorized accurately, which is large number of narrators agreed upon, that he didn't take a fresh water. He actually wiped his ear, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the remaining water in his hand. That's what al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah said in Talkhis al-Habir. Also, Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid rahimahullah, who's a great scholar in ilm al-hadith and ilm al-fiqh al-shafi'i, he said that al-riwayat al-mahfuzah, the authentic narration from Abdullah ibn Zayd, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he basically wiped his head sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam with the remaining water from his hand after wiping his head sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and that's the narration of Sahih Muslim, as you heard. As-San'ani rahimahullah made a comment in Subul al-Salam. It's one of the book that explained the Bulugh al-Maram, and one of the reference that I use in preparing for the class. So As-San'ani rahimahullah said in Subul al-Salam, he made a comment. He said, Ibn Hajar lam ya'zuhu fi at-talkhis li Muslim. Here Ibn Hajar rahimahullah in Bulugh al-Maram said, and it is in one, the version of Muslim says this and this. He said, but in another book by Ibn Hajar, it's called Talkhis al-Habir, he didn't attribute this hadith to Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Then As-San'ani said, وَلَا رَأَيْنَاهُ فِيهِ, and it's not actually in Sahih Muslim. This narration is not in Sahih Muslim. As if he, rahimahullah, doubted it is in Sahih Muslim. And that's because Ibn Hajar only referred to the narration in Ibn Hibban, and he never mentioned Muslim. But the reality is, no, the narration is in Sahih Muslim, and it is in Kitab al-Tahara, Babu Wudu'in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is not like a San'ani thought, it's not in Sahih Muslim. The narration in Sahih Muslim, and it is authentic narration in Sahih Muslim. And the Mahfuz, the authentic one, that he wiped his ear with the remaining water in his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why is San'ani did say that? It's either because San'ani mixed between the narrations, nasi, he forgot, he talking from his memory, not necessarily from a book, or the version that, or the copy that As-San'ani has didn't have this narration. Because as you know, the books of hadith have many different prints. It's handwritten copies. So some of these handwritten copies might be not as accurate as the others, okay? That's a problem. One of the problem, a lot of people maybe didn't know that, that Ibn Kathir, Tafsir Ibn Kathir had this issue. Tafsir ibn Kathir, that it was in the hand of people, there is so much missing in it. If you ever read Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, tafsir, you will notice that there is like huge gaps. Many times, that's just, things are missing. Where is it? About 10 years ago, they published a new copy. And we talk about just 10, 15, maybe 13 years ago. They just came up with the copy that it is one of the most complete, comprehensive copy for Ibn Kathir. And Ibn Kathir is a very famous book. But for all these years, we've been using copies for Ibn Kathir, which is not complete. There is things missing in it. And that's a problem in the books in general. That's why al-ilm is never based on one book. That's why, subhanAllah, أَبَى اللَّهُ الْعِصْمَةِ إِلَّا لِكِتَابِ. Allah wants the only book to be 100% accurate, Al-Qur'an. There's no missing anything, no copy different than the other. Al-Shudud, which is hadithun shad, it means weak. This narration is shad because the narrator narrates something different than what the rest narrated. Should he take new water for his ear? We talked about this before. And we said Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to take a new fresh water for his ear. And that's one narration from Imam Malik rahimahullah and Imam Ahmad. And it is the official position of the Shafi'iyya. And the main reference for them, as I said before, is Ibn Umar's actions. That's what Imam Malik mentioned in Al-Muwatta, that Ibn Umar used to do this. And Ibn Umar cares a lot about following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that this narration is authentic, actually. It is not weak. But the narration, the authentic narration, that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took new fresh water for his head, not for his ear, for his head sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did his ear. And that's what the Imam al-Bayhaqi and Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah have said in regard to the two narrations. The other opinion, no, you wipe your head with the remaining water from in your hand. And this is Ibn Abbas, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, al-Hasan al-Basri, Ibn Sirin, al-Imam Ibrahim al-Nakhai, al-Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, al-Imam Abu Ishaq ibn Rahaway, and also one narration for Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and it's one narration in Madhab al-Imam Malik. And it is the opinion of Ahlul Ra'i, the opinion of the Fuqaha al-Ahnaf, the Kufis, the scholars of Al-Kufa. And Al-Baghawi rahimahullah said, وَهَذَا مَذْهَبُ أَكْثَرِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. This is the position of the vast majority of the scholars. Ibn al-Mundhir rahimahullah is mujtahid in Mujtahid, yes, he's a Shafi'i, but he is mujtahid based on the principle of the Shafi'i. The mujtahideen in any madhab are two levels. Like, let's say there is mujtahid is the one who can initiate an opinion, okay, his own opinion. There are, in every madhab, there is two levels. One, who use the principles of the madhab, the principle of the imam, and he make his own opinion even if it does not exist in the madhab, even if it goes against the imam himself. And the famous example we all know, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. They use the principle of Abu Hanifa and they disagree with 50% of Abu Hanifa's opinion. They use the, or as people say, I don't know how accurate this is, 50%. But they always, they have a lot of opinion different than Abu Hanifa. But they took his principle and they make their own opinion. The same thing you find in every madhab. Ibn Taymiyyah, the same thing with the Hanabila. In the Shafi'iyah, you find Ibn al-Mundir, you find al-Muzani, you find Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. That's why they said those three, those people, as if they are their own imams. Fil Malikiyah, Ibn Rushd, you know, they have their own opinion that can be. Then you have mujtahid inside the madhab, but that person will never come an opinion other than what's in the madhab. So he will have three positions in the Hanafi madhab, he chooses between one of them. There's three positions in the Hanafi, he chooses between one of them. يسمونه مجتهد في المذهب مقلد والثاني مجتهد في المذهب مطلق يعني he has the free, his hand are free to go against the opinions that exist in his own madhab. Anyway, this is a side point. No. Okay. So going back to what Ibn al-Mundir رحمه الله said, وغير موجود في الأخبار الثابتة. It's not exist in the narrations that describe the wudu of the Prophet ﷺ ever that he took new water for his ear. And he mentioned that in Al-Awsat. And if you look at the ahadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that describe the wudu of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Sahaba, you will not find that he took new water for his ear sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you will find in Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As actually the opposite, that it says specifically he wiped his head and enter his fingers inside, he said, then he put his index fingers in his ear and wiped the exterior of his ear with his thumbs. So that's very yani, clear evidence that in, even specifically mentioned that he used the same water to do his ear, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the way, wiping over the ear, it doesn't mean that like the way you wipe over your head. Some people said, مسح الأذنين. You wipe over your ear, type, should I do like this? Or like, you know, like this. You do like your head, then you wipe. No, the wiping over the ear is like what you heard the hadith earlier. He put his index fingers inside, then he goes with the thumbs from outside. So the exterior and the interior part. Next hadith, yes.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أمتي يأتون يوم القيامة غرا محجلين من أثر الوضوء فمن استطاع منكم أن يطيل غرته فليفعل متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم.
Go ahead in English.
Narrated Abu Huraira radiyallahu an, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, my people will come on the day of resurrection with radiant faces, hands and feet from the traces of wudu. If any one of you can extend his brightness, let him do so. Agreed upon, and this is the wording of Muslim.
This hadith is very famous. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أمتي يأتون يوم القيامة غرا محجلين. My ummah will come in the day of judgment with غرا محجلين, bright faces and hands and feet from the trace of wudu pollution. My ummah, إن أمتي, يدل على أن هذا من خصائص هذه الأمة. It means that the only one who will come with this look in the day of judgment are the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's so beautiful that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said they will come. العلماء رحمه الله said يعني they, when they come out of their graves, their face is shining, their hands shining, their feet shining. Or their face, sorry, their face is shining and their feet shining. Sorry. Their face and their feet are shining. Okay, غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ. So the face are shining and the feet are shining. You can recognize them in the, from the day they come out of their grave to the gathering, the great gathering, to the judgment, and all of them like this. You can see it clearly on them. They are sharing part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. When faces will be dark and another faces will be shining. So they are shining because of the wudu, because of the salah. And that's so beautiful. And one of the things that you can imagine, when you come in the day of judgment with all this fear surrounding you, and you see this sign in your face and in your feet, what that tells you? That there is something good for you. You know, it gives you tuma'neen, it gives you tranquility, it gives you thabat. It gives you amn, security, sense of security. Okay? So, here, question. Is this shining face and feet, is the result of the wudu? That's right? That's right? من أثر الوضوء, there is a trace of the wudu. So, what is special for this ummah? Is the special for the special thing for this ummah, this shining face and feet, or the wudu that result the shyness of the face and the feet? The shining. Why? يعني هل الوضوء من خصائص الأمة أم الغرة والتحجير من خصائص الأمة? The shining face and feet, is it something special about this ummah? Or the wudu that resulted this is a special about this ummah? The shining, because Al-Wudu is known in other nations. Al-Wudu is something used to be done before Islam. And the proof for that, many. For example, Rawa al-Bukhari wa Muslim, al-Bukhari Muslim reported from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a long story of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Sarah, when she entered Egypt and the king of Egypt approached her. In the hadith, Abu Hurairah, what he said, قَالَ فَقَامَتْ فَتَوَضَّأَتْ وَصَلَّتْ. She made wudu, then she prayed. And she said, اللهم إن كنت آمنت بك وبرسولك فلا تصلت علي الكافر. If I, oh Allah, if you know that I believe in you and your messenger, do not let this kafir have control over me or touch me. فَغَطَّ حَتَّى رَكَدَ بِرِجْلِي. He fallen asleep. And he like was even moving his hand in so deep sleep. That's what the hadith of Sahih Bukhari Muslim says. Another narration. The famous story of Jurayj al-Abid. Also in the Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Jurayj al-Abid is the one that you, his mother called him while he's making salah. He didn't respond because he was busy in salah. Then his mother made a very strange dua. She said, Allahumma la tumit, do not let him die, hatta turihi wujuha al-mumisat, until he see with his own eyes the faces of the prostitutes. What a strange dua. Yani it shows you that seeing such woman is something was far away from happening to person who consider himself righteous. Today people pay money to see the faces of wujuha al-mumisat and TVs and cinemas and all those kind of stuff. Anyway, so you basically, and you know the story, but in the end of the story, قَالَ فَجَذَبُوهُ, they pulled him down from his صَوْمَعَ, from his place of worship, and they destroyed it, and they dragged him out, وَسَبُّوهُ, they curse him, and they were about to, he said, hold on, listen to the hadith, فَتَوَضَّأَ وَصَلَّى, he made wudu, then he prayed. فَأَتَى الْغُلَامَ فَقَالَ مَنْ أَبُوهُ قَالَ الرَّاعِي. He came to the child, to the infant, he said, who's your father? He said, my father is so-and-so. So here, another hadith. Also, there is another hadith, Ibn Majah, but this hadith is very weak. that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم made wudu, and when he did it three times, قال أسبغ الوضوء. This is the perfect wudu, وهو وضوئي ووضوء أبي إبراهيم. And this is my wudu and the wudu of my father Ibrahim. أو خليل الله إبراهيم. So, but this hadith is weak. The point is, al-wudu is known for nations before us. It's not something new. But what is new for this ummah? That Allah made the wudu of this ummah result in the Day of Judgment of that ghurra, of that shining in the face and the feet. What is ghurran muhajjaleen? Al-ghurra, it's in the face. At-tahjil, it's in the feet. At-tahjil is in the feet. And العلماء رحمهم الله said that the in language of the Arabic language, if you look back to the root of these words, it used to be a description for the beautiful horses. The most recognized horses, the one who will have three white shining spots in its face and its 2 feet. So three, not four. Okay? Or it is a tahjil, three of its feet, sorry, three of its feet shining, and the face is shining. So they said also, so basically it is about three things to be shining, white, that will be something beauty that they consider. So that's why al-ulama rahimahullah subhanahu rahimahullah said, so al-ghur wa tahjil, it is your feet, because la yuqal fi tahjil lil-aydi. It's not in the Arabic language. He said, tahjil, it means the feet. It doesn't mean the hands. So never in Arabic language we say tahjil, it means the hand. So what is ghurra muhajjali means? A white or shining, basically forehead and feet. Okay, that's what the hadith is about. Some people think the feet and the hands, but I couldn't find any really proof for that hand. People say it's linguistically, I couldn't find that the hand is included. It's always ulama referred to the feet. Anyway, min athar al-wudu, as a result of the wudu, a trace of the wudu. قال من استطاع منكم أن يطيل غرته. Whoever can basically extend his ghurra, his this shining, whoever, if you can lengthen his brightness. My question, what that means, whoever can lengthen? Man istata, whoever can. Isn't everybody capable of doing that? Alaysa kull ahad yastati' an yutil ghurrata? Everybody can. Okay? So, hadhi yasamunu fi lughat al-arab hath, encouragement. It doesn't mean literally you can. You know, it's like, if you can give me this water. It doesn't mean that I doubt your ability to give it to me. But what I'm making point to what? To encourage you to give it to me. It's in English also, we use that format. Anyway, this hadith in the Bukhari and Muslim, and it's authentic. But there is a problem in the hadith. What's the problem? The problem is that addition in the end. Whoever can lengthen his brightness should do. Whoever can lengthen his brightness, his ghurra and tahjil, should do. Is this something the Prophet ﷺ said? Or it is not? Why the question came up? The question came up because many of the fuqaha, many of the scholars of hadith said, this is what we call mudraj. What's mudraj? Mudraj, it means an addition. This is something you study in ilm al-hadith. Al-idraj, al-idraj, it means to add something. Al-idraj yakun fil isnad wa yakun fil matn. You add to the chain of reciting the chain of narrator, and you add something in the middle, or you add to the actual text. They give very famous example of قصة ثابت ابن موسى when he entered to Shariq ibn Abdullah al-Qadi when he was narrating the hadith Jabir radiallahu an. So he was mentioning the hadith. He said, قال حدثنا شعبة قال حدثنا أبو سفيان قال حدثنا جابر. Then he looked and he saw Thabit ibn Musa. Thabit ibn Musa is a very famous ascetic Zahid min al-Zuhad al-Kibar. So when he saw him in the class, like I'm very happy to see Kabir today, for example. So you see someone that you dare and you love and you see him in the class, you get happy. So he saw Thabit ibn Musa in the class. So what did he say, Shariq? He said, من كثرت صلاته بالليل حسن وجهه بالنهار. Whoever pray a lot in the night, his face will be shining in the daytime. If you look at the narration of this hadith, you will find that Thabit ibn Musa later on narrated the hadith. So he said, حدثنا, was told that Shariq said, that Shariq said, that does this, that whoever pray in the night, his face will be shining. He attributed as if it is part of the hadith. Did he get it? And he didn't know that actually Shariq was not saying it's hadith. Shariq was making a comment, but whoever heard it, put it down as part of the narration. So that became addition, something been added in the middle. Sometimes they add to the actual text. You have a hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then they add to it. And هذا ينقسم إلى ثلاثة أقسام. I don't want to transfer to science of hadith class, but I can't resist. Very quickly, they something المدرج, they add to the beginning. Can you figure out the rest of the two? Or they add in the middle or in the end. Example, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith, وَيْلُ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Be careful from the fire for your basically ankles to be touched or burned by the fire. If you look at the hadith, it goes like this, أَسْبِغُوا وَيْلُ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Complete your wudu because al-a'qab, the feet or the ankles, might be touched by the hellfire. That word, asbighu, complete, perfect, is not from the Prophet ﷺ, al-ulama said, as al-Khatib al-Baghdadi and others said. They said it is actually an addition from Abu Huraira, added to the beginning of the hadith. In the middle, the famous hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, that Aisha radiallahu anha, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحنث الليالي ذوات العدد في غار حراء. في الصحيحين that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to yatahannath the long nights or many days or many nights in the cave. If you look to the narration, yatahannath, yata'abbad. You will find in the middle the word yata'abbad, يعني worship, exhaust himself in the worship of Allah. Where this worship coming from? It came from Zuhri, who narrated this hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha. He added in the middle. I'm trying to remember an example of the end of the hadith. In the end of the hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anha, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلْعَبْدِ الْمَمْلُوكِ أَجْرَانِ. The slave has two rewards. تجد في آخر الحديث in the end, it says, ولولا الحج والجهاد وبري بأمي لتمنيت ألا أموت إلا مملوكا. In the end of the hadith it says, and if it wasn't for jihad, wasn't for hajj, wasn't for taking care of my mother, I would love to die as a slave. If you look, this is, sounds like the Prophet ﷺ statement. But the ulama said, no, that actually was addition from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. That's ironic. A lot of ahadith al-mudraja, all from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, or a lot of them. So why? How do we recognize the mudraj? We recognize it is addition by one of the following. One, it is something impossible, the Prophet ﷺ would say. And impossible, the Prophet ﷺ wished to be a slave. Because no prophet ever was a slave. It's impossible that the Prophet ﷺ said it wasn't because of taking care of my mother, because his mother passed away before he became a prophet. So it's impossible. Another, you know, evidence that's never the Prophet ﷺ said that. And other things, which is not science of hadith, I'm going to skip them. But here, it is impossible that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever capable of strengthening their ghurra should do. It's impossible that the Prophet ﷺ said that. The ulama said that's not possible. Why? They said, لِأَنَّهُ فِي لُغَةِ الْعَرَبِ الْغُرَّةِ لَا تُطَالِ. In Arabic language, wouldn't make no sense. And in Sharia, wouldn't make sense. Why? Because al-ghurra is in your face. How would you lengthen the shining of your face, the brightness of your face? How you make it longer? Type feet, we understand. You go longer to your knees. But how would you do your face? Makes no sense to lengthen it. It would be linguistically a bad Arabic. A poor language. And maybe we're not going to say it is a mistake, but it's a poor language, very poor way of saying it. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ahadith, not okay in Arabic language, they are perfect. So that's why ulama rahimahullah said, we knew from this, that is not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another proof that this hadith in particular was narrated by 10 companions. One of them, Abu Huraira. 9 companions never made this addition. The only one we saw it in his narration was Abu Huraira. And guess what? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Many people narrate this hadith from him. Not a single one mentioned this addition except a man by the name of Nu'aym ibn Abdullah. And Nu'aym ibn Abdullah is the only one mentioned it. Guys, why these additions are made? The additions are made, it's either because the narrator want to show a rulings, explain the meaning of a word, or to make a comment. So when he make this comment, in the context of the narration, while we're sitting together, you understand that this is a comment. But when you narrate it generations later on, it would sound like as if it is part of the text. But actually, in that gathering, it was recognized as not. The problem for Hadith al-Mudraj is the way it was narrated. Okay? Because sometimes somebody pause, then make a comment. But when you write, there is no pausing. You see what I'm saying? And imagine, we don't have full stop, we don't have comma. Nobody write this way in the old days. So that's why it became confusing a little bit. That's why the Hadith al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the great work of Ahlul Hadith was about memorizing and examining all this narration to be so accurate to that level. So here we say that this narration is not from the Prophet ﷺ because of the other narrators never mention it. As a matter of fact, in Musnad Ahmad, this Nu'aym ibn Abdullah himself said, I don't know if this statement, whoever can strengthen his brightness, is from the Prophet ﷺ or not. Or it's from Abu Huraira. He himself said that. قَالْ لَا أَدْرِي هِيَ مِنْ كَلَامِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مِنْ كَلَامِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ رضي الله عنه. That's why Imam al-Mundiri رحمه الله Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Hajar al-Ayni, long list of scholars said, it is mudraj. The ruling from the hadith. Number one, is it allowed to add to the wudu? One of the things also I forgot to say why we said it's mudraj as well is because Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu, he used to add to his wudu and used to say that this is his understanding from the hadith. He understood from the Prophet ﷺ said that my ummah will come shining on bright face and feet as a result of wudu. He thought that that means you can make that brightness much bigger and longer and much stronger by adding more. That's why radiallahu anhu arda. Yeah, he will wash his hand all the way to his underarm. Abu Huraira, he goes, Ibn Umar and Abu Hurairah. So Abu Hurairah also, he goes all the way to basically here. And this is in al-Bukhari. Abu Zar'a said, I came to Abu Hurairah and I saw him making wudu, and he qal fa wasala ila abati. He walled all the way to his underarm. Okay? And Abu Salim in Sunan Abi Shayba, and also fi Musannaf Abi Shayba, that he did that and he went all the way to his knees. Fa wasala ila rukbatayhi. And he said, مَبْلَغُ الْحِلْيَةُ مَبْلَغُ الْوُضُوءِ. Your shining or your beautification in the Day of Judgment will be to where your wudu reach. And I would like my beauty, my beautification in the Day of Judgment to be so much, so long. So he has this understanding. And because of this, some of the Shafi'iyya, a lot of Hanafi scholars, said it is okay to add to the part of your wudu. So it's okay to wash all the way to the al-adud, this part of your triceps in this area, you go all the way here. They said, for example, when you do your face, they said, أنك تدخل صفحة العنق. You add your neck to it. So the shining will be adding to the neck. So they allowed things of that nature. For example, to the feet, they said you can go all the way up to the half of your legs. They said it's allowed. Why? Because of this narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Some of them said, even if it is not from the Prophet, it is Abu Hurairah understanding, and it is Ibn Umar understanding as well. Ibn Umar used to do that as well. And I don't agree with this opinion. Actually, I go with the second opinion, which is the opinion of Imam Malik rahimahullah and Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and the choice of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, that you cannot add to the wudu anything. And if you add to it, actually it's bid'ah. It's an innovation in religion. Because in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never give permission to add to anything into the religion, to add to the wudu. So the wudu to the hand, to the elbow, to the elbow. طيب, you might say, Sheikh Walid, in Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu made wudu. And this is this is one of the hadith that the Shafi'iyya used. They said that he washed his hand, Abu Hurairah, hatta shara'a fi 'ududay, and he went beyond the elbow. And he washed his ankle, and he went beyond the ankle to the legs, to the basic, the bottom of the shin. They said, and this is in Sahih Muslim, and guess what, Abu Hurairah, he didn't say this is my action. Abu Hurairah said, that's how I saw the Prophet ﷺ made his wudu. And by the way, this hadith, Abu Hurairah never connected to the issue of lengthening your purification. He never. He just said, this is what the Prophet said. Al ulama answered this. Al Imam Ahmad, Al Hanabila, and the Malikis, and the Fuqaha, they answered this. He said, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he shara, يعني, beyond his elbow. Because when you wash your elbow, obviously, I'm going to show you. See, may I have the water? I go like this. That's right? Did you see this? This is not the elbow. So it's a very common when you wash that you go beyond the elbow. Fashara. And the word is that basically as if you start going to the rest of the hand. So that's what this hadith means. And the same thing with the feet. Okay, so the same thing with the feet. The point was that Abu Hurairah, the Prophet ﷺ, was making to the Sahaba to make sure that they perfect their wudu. Nothing to be missing, because this part can easily be missed. Is that clear? So that's what this narration means. Also, that's why we say adding parts, because if you add the neck, what if somebody tomorrow said, how about the upper parts of the chest? What if somebody tomorrow said, you know, how about the thigh? Where are we going to end? Where are we going to start? How about the back? You know, a little bit of the rub your back, your shoulder. You know, I mean, where are we going to end with this? Also, we said part of the adding to the wudu is to make wudu 7 times, 8 times repetition instead of 3. That's also not acceptable. And I believe all this are wrong. Ibn al-Mubarak, radiallahu anhu rahimah, one of the great scholars among the tabi'een, he said, I'm not sure. Man zada fil wudu, whoever add to his wudu and more than 3, and ya'tham, that he might be sinning. Al-Imam Ahmad and Imam Ishaq was asked, what do you think of people make more than three times in the wudu? Add. فقال Imam Ahmad, لا يفعله إلا رجل مبتلى. Only people have waswasa, people have compulsive disorder. You know, people will do that. But normal people will not do more than three. Three times. Yeah, three times, not three times wudu. You wash the body three times. Yeah, you wash the hands three times. Yeah, you wash your face three times. No more than, not more than three. Next. Mm-hmm. They said because that's the understanding of the Sahaba. No, it's an understanding. This addition, it's an understanding of the companion. And the understanding of the companion is hujjah, is a proof. And guess what? Ibn Umar did that. So it means that he has a proof for it. We'll stop here, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Enough for today, these two hadith. So their evidence actually based on the afi'l al-sahaba, the action of the companion. And some of them, they don't believe it's mudraj. And some said it's not from, it's not mudraj. They debate that. But actually, from a hadith point of view, it is mudraj. Yeah. Al-idraj is not a problem. Idraj is an explanation. Al-idraj is an explanation. Just to explain the word, the meaning of it, the reason behind it, or that he adding his opinion. The problem comes when people didn't differentiate. Some of them mushkil, like for example, dye your hair, don't keep it gray, dye your hair. Later on says on the list, وَجَنِّبُوهُ السَّوَاد, but avoid black. You'll find in Mubarak 40 said the word, but don't dye it with black, is not from the Prophet ﷺ. That's why there is more than 18 companion dye black. Yes. No, there is more, maybe 18 part. But there is a debate in Mubarak 40. He believes that this addition's void black is not from the process. It's actually added as somebody made a comment. His understanding. But some said, no, it's not. So that's a very hot debate here between the fuqaha al-hadith, ulama al-hadith. Yeah. There is more to be said about the idraj. It's a very interesting concept. And the ulama al-hadith al-jahabida, the great huffad, are the one who really can easily figure out and point it out, the idraj, by looking at the different narrations.